Picture this, a magnificent sailing ship, its billowing sails filled with the promise of adventure, and a courageous crew, ready for the journey of a lifetime. You, as a crew member, enthusiastically set sail for adventure and glory beyond imagination. Treasure also awaits. But alas, there's a catch. Our captain, though skilled and confident, has failed to chart a course. He has no destination, no plan, and no mission. Days go by, and you begin to wane as the ship drifts aimlessly through the vast sea. As we sail through today's episode, setting the course, finding the direction, plan, and mission of your marriage, we'll explore the consequences of a ship without a course. Just as a ship needs a captain to navigate the stormy seas, so does a marriage. It requires direction, purpose, mission, and a shared vision. So batten down the hatches, hold on tight, and join us as we embark on this thrilling voyage towards a successful, fulfilling, God-honoring marriage. Can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? Amos 3:3, New Living Translation. Hello and welcome to episode 2 of season 3 of the Resilient Masculinity Podcast. In this season, we are exploring how to make marriage great again. We're going to dig into mission as it relates to the Christian marriage and why it is one of the most important conversations in founding and establishing a fruitful, joyful, legacy-building marriage. What that is going to look like is we're going to take a practical look into setting the course of your marriage, how setting the mission of your marriage is vital to having a long, productive, faithful marriage. We'll look at 5 categories of mission setting, and we'll break it down with a sample mission, as well as looking ahead at what may come next. So a shared mission requires being on the same page about what it is that we're even aiming at in our marriages, as Christians, as husbands, and as wives. The question we're looking at and asking when we're setting the course of our marriage is, what does it look like? What are we aiming for? What target or targets are we wanting to hit in our marriage? Even if those targets and our mission are 20, 30, 50, or 70 years away. Realistically and ultimately, it asks about the husband and the wife and their marriage together. What are we about? Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your ancestors, the gods that your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors, the ones that served beyond the Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living in. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24:14-15. Again, this question about mission, this question about our vision and where we're going, it's asking, how are we going to use our strengths, our place, our vocation, and our life force to hit the targets that you believe the Lord would have and has set for you to hit? Because ultimately, what is our job? What is our vocation? Well, assuming you work 8-hour days, 5 days a week, that's 40 hours a week, 50 weeks out of the year, you're looking at 2,000 hours. Take 2,000 hours times a 40-year career, looking at 80,000 hours in your vocation. And if you take 80,000 hours and you divide that by 24 hours in a day, how many days do you think that adds up to? So that, my friend, equals 3,333 days, or a total of 9.13 years of your life. And that's just assuming there's no overtime. That is a lot of your life, my friend. My dear listener, your vocation is a lot of your life force. So where does that time go? And that's just your job. That's just your what you do to sustain yourself and your family. Now, yes, vocation does greatly play a part in your mission, and it's not just to provide money and sustenance. It also ultimately is one of the biggest outflowings in your life as to what your mission is. But there's more to that. What else do you use your life force for? Well, you use it for your family, for your wife, for your kids, for those in your church, for your family. You spend so many hours, most of your hours in a day, serving others. So at the end of your life, what do you want to accomplish? What missions will you have wanted to accomplish and say, we did this. We built blank together. We served these people together. Westminster Confession of Faith 24. Marriage is to be between one man and one woman. Neither is it lawful for any man to have more than one wife, nor any woman to have more than one husband at the same time. References for this are going to be Genesis 2:24, Matthew 19:5-6, and Proverbs 2:17. 2. Marriage, it was ordained for the mutual help of husband and wife, for the increase of mankind with a legitimate issue, and of the church with a holy seed, and for the preventing of uncleanliness, or uncleanness, my bad. References for that are going to be Genesis 2:18, Malachi 2:15, and 1 Corinthians 7, verses 2 and 9. What that means, what does it mean? When it says the mutual help of a husband and wife, the increase of mankind with legitimate children, or as some versions would say, legitimate issue. Ultimately, it's talking about children there, legitimate children, so not bastard children, so not fatherless children or children outside of wedlock. So that children could be raised in a legitimate household, our children, right, the children of us Christians, and those children that we have within our marriage are, again, they're not bastard children. And it is for the church to continue through children to prevent sexual immorality, right? A husband has his wife, and she is his sole sexual satisfaction, and she has her husband, who is her sole sexual satisfaction. One of the reasons for marriage, and one of the reasons marriage is given, is the legitimate grounding of a sexual relationship. Again, we are our spouse's sole sexual satisfaction, and they are our sole sexual satisfaction. These are true of all marriages, even non-Christian marriages. This is a creational ordinance, not just for Christians. So this is true of all marriages, all true marriages, I will add, the modern day butchering of marriage, whether that's through gay mirage or through polyamorous relationships or open marriages, is incorrect. Those are not real marriages. Again, according to Westminster Confession of Faith 24, we see that marriage is one man, one woman at a time. And of course, that is, again, singular. Husbands, you don't have more than one wife while your wife is still alive. Wives, you do not have more than one husband while your husband is alive. Marriage is at the heart of the productive Christian household, and therefore it is important and vital to set a mission, because it sets a distinct way a household will fulfill the things that God has set in advance for you and your family to do. It should be seen as a compass for your life as a household. Your mission might be to build a business for your children to work in, or for you to have a foothold in the local real estate, so your offspring may and will be more easily able to stay in your local area. It's also about covenant faithfulness and how your marriage will faithfully reflect the gospel. Guys, there is so much about our marriages that we don't even realize. Many of us go through our marriages, go through our life day by day, and we do whatever's on the to-do list of today. But do we honestly actively look to set direction in our marriage? Do we honestly actively set missions and goals and waypoints? Guys, this is also about dominion, about how our marriage will serve to bring us to bring order out of chaos, to make gardens out of the wilds, and bring fruitful activities out of the gifts God has given us. It's about building our church, about how our mission will serve the local church. How will you and your household serve the household of God? It's through fruitfulness, again, through children. And this is both understood as not only biological children, but also children in the faith. So we're passing on fruitfulness and a legacy of faithfulness to God, and also through bearing fruit in our own ministries, in our household ministries. And it's about legacy. It's about how our marriage will pass that which is of the highest of value down to generations that will follow. Questions you should ask yourself is, how will the husband provide given this mission? How will the household make money given this mission? How will your vocation or your job relate to your neighbor given this mission? And how will we as a household relate to one another? And what is the aim of that economic activity, be it a business, a vocation, a system that you create? So the man is oriented to the creation and to the world. The man, husbands, I'm talking to you. Sons, I'm talking to you. You are going to go out. You're going to build. You're going to kill things. You're going to raise animals and you're going to start businesses. Those are the things that God has oriented you as men to do. He has set us up to build. We're craftsmen. We're builders. We're constructors. We kill that which would seek to destroy our household and our mission. And we seek to also kill things for food, to provide. And not only killing animals, but we also raise animals, again, for food, for provision. We start businesses and commerce and economic systems again to provide and to further our missions. And the woman, wives and daughters, this is for you, you're oriented to your men. That does not mean that the woman is not oriented to work, though. Let me say that again. Women, that does not mean you are not oriented to work. But you are oriented to the man. Because if the man is working, if your man is working, wives, if your husband is working, and you're oriented towards your husband, your orientation will also be towards work. This means that you are both oriented towards work and one another. And this is proper, and this is right. So that you can be ordered to your tasks properly. Wives, you are not independent of your husbands. And husbands, you cannot complete your mission independent from your wife. You can only successfully chart your course for your marriage and for your household properly when you properly relate to each other. Questions to ask yourself when talking about a household mission and a mission for your marriage and charting the course is, what are you good at? What gifts, what talents, what skills has God given you? And what is your vocation? What is your job? What is your occupation? And not just the thing that you do on a day-to-day basis to bring money in, although there is that. But what is your vocation? And vocation has the idea of what has God set as a burning desire? How do you want to influence the world around you? So are my skills and are my vocations able to provide for the needs of the household and an inheritance? Because again, we know from scripture that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. Another question you need to ask is, do you need better training and or skill development? And how is your household going to provide for the needs therein, and again, an inheritance? And how will your mission serve the local church? For example, a sample mission might be something like this. Now, I'll use our household as an example. So, the blank household exists to model the glory of the gospel in building a legacy of Christian faith and productive wealth in service of a godly lineage and to the Christianization of Oklahoma and beyond for the glory of our triune God. That might be, you know, again, that's a sample. That might be what your mission statement might look like for your family. It might look different. Maybe you want to build a business for your children to work in. Maybe you want to build a school so your children and their children have a place where they can have strong Christian education. Maybe you want to build a real estate empire locally so that your children and their children can have a foothold locally and they don't have to move away because of high housing costs. Maybe your mission, your household mission, maybe you don't have children. Maybe you can't have children. Maybe your household mission is to serve the church and to see it flourish locally. Maybe you want to set up a homeless shelter. There's so many different missions you can have. I'm not here to tell you what your mission is. That is between you, your spouse, and God. I am here to encourage you guys to set that course, to chart that course, to find the direction and the mission So some subpoints in that, right? In a sample, right? Or in your mission might be, hey, this is how we're going to educate our children. Maybe you haven't even thought of leaving an inheritance yet. Maybe if you're like me and you're in your young 20s to 30s, the economic field right now looks pretty rough, not gonna lie. I'm not some, you know, independently wealthy man out here. I'm not even close to wealthy. I understand that the economic landscape right now is hard, and I wish it was better. I wish I had a vocation currently that would allow me to provide enough so that my wife could be a stay-at-home mom, if and when the Lord blesses us with children. Right now, as it stands in this moment, I could not provide that. So that is one of my missions, is to be able to provide that level of provision that she has that option. And I understand in this time, in this day and age, it's hard. Those 40-year high inflation rates, coupled with, record high interest rates very quickly, it's a rough atmosphere. I'm not downplaying that. But have you even thought of leaving an inheritance to your grandchildren? Do you invest with the goal of obtaining long-term generational wealth, not for yourself, not to serve yourself, not to live a high life on $1,000 cruises and multi-million dollar houses? I'm talking setting up an inheritance that'll last generations. Have you even thought of that? If not, you should. Think about what inheritance you'll leave, not just materially, not just in wealth, but how about in faith? Again, you're not going to be able to have your household mission doesn't end with you. It continues. It continues on. And again, if you're going to have Christian children, as you should, as Christians, but then you send them to Caesar to get catechized in paganism by the public school system, that doesn't help your mission. So how do you educate your children Christianly? Have you thought of that? So here are some common ditches that I don't want us to fall into when we're looking at making a mission. Okay, and here's the first one, and I have been guilty of this first one, especially early on in my marriage, was making my spouse the mission. I'll read what I have here, and then I'll explain further. So, making your spouse the mission is not, it's not going to be fulfilling, okay? If they're not letting me fulfill my needs, it's the idea of if they are not letting me fulfill my needs, they are toxic. It's the idea of men making this mistake, and I've seen it. I've done it. Guys, there's even a cultural saying to this, okay? You've heard it. I'm sure you all have. Happy wife, happy life. Men, your wife's happiness is not your sole mission. Men, you cannot end up pandering to your wife's emotions constantly. Because when you do that, you will never correct her. And you will let her become bossy and rude. And her emotions, your wife's emotions, will rule the home. And that is not acceptable. Husbands, that makes you a huge sissy, and it never lets you get anything done, because then all that you have done is make your wife's moment-to-moment emotions the mission. And if they go against what your household mission is, well, then you're going to pander to your wife's emotions. It's not growing in Christ's likeness, and you're not spurring each other on to love and good works. Gentlemen, I've fallen into this ditch before, and it's very easy, especially when you're young and you're in love. And I hate the whole in love thing. I don't believe it's a right framing to put into your head about what love is. However, there is a time and place, and it is good to be head over heels. And I mean, just in a constant sense of amazement with your significant other. That is correct, and you should enjoy that. However, gentlemen, again, your wife's emotions are not your mission. Because there will come times when your household mission comes into direct conflict with your wife's emotions. And you will have to decide what it is that you're going to push forward on. Are you going to pander to the emotional needs and desires of your wife at every whim? Or will you continue to press ahead on the household mission even when it gets difficult? And I am not saying that your wife's emotional needs are not valid. They are. And as men, we are called to love our wives. We are called to protect her and cherish her and give her an environment in which she can flourish in the love and grace of God. Yes and amen. To be a leader means to make some tough calls. And sometimes we have to continue on even when our emotions say otherwise. I'll give a good example. Yesterday, I had to be, quote, the bad guy because I would not let us, my wife and I, get another dog. One of our local pet stores was having their adoption day, and there was a beautiful dog. And he came up to my wife and I, and he nuzzled us, and he was a good dog. He was very chill. At a different time, I would have said yes to that dog. I would have said, yes, we could get a second dog, even though right now we do not have the finances for it, nor is that where our mission is going. We have a mission set before us, and that dog, at this time, is not going to help us towards that mission. It would hinder us towards that mission. It would actually set us off course. So I had to be the one, I had to be the captain to steer the ship in the right direction. And I admit, that was difficult because I would love to have a second dog as well. It's not just my wife who wants to have a second dog. I would like to have one too. But I cannot let my emotions or my wife's emotions towards that particular dog derail us from our mission. So what did I do? I recognized that was a temptation for us. And I spurred us on in love and good works. And I said, look, this is our mission. Here's where we're going. Lord willing, we will have the opportunity to get another dog another day. And that day is not today. Here's our mission, and we're going forward with it. Ditch number two. Making mere pleasure your mission. This is the mindset of, you know, we're going to retire with enough money to have cruises every year, or it's delaying in having children to travel, to, quote, get to know each other better, or to have life experiences before you have children. And how you get to, quote, learn about each other. No. Mere pleasure is not your mission. Your mission is to glorify God. What is the chief end of man? To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And as we read about marriage in the Westminster Confession of Faith, part of that, part of marriage, is also having children. Ditch number three, it's not planning for future generations. It's to forget about future generations. To not ask, what about your grandchildren? You need to give yourself a higher purpose than yourself. And then ditch number four is perfectionism. Don't get stuck on perfectionism, please. Because life throws curveballs. God may have your household take on different missions throughout various seasons of life. Our mission, our household mission, stayed the same in totality. However, various seasons have brought different aspects of that to light, or we've had to chart different courses in going to that mission. Originally, when my wife and I got married, we did not know we were going to be in Oklahoma. That was not anywhere. That was about 1,000 miles away from where we were. We were in West Michigan, and now we're in Oklahoma. Tell you what, we had talked about moving. We did not think Oklahoma was where we were going to move to. Not everything is set in stone, and that's okay. Take some time, be it every month, maybe even biannually or annually, or set aside a specific interval and assess and change headings as God would have you to do, as God leads you to do. Again, when we moved, did that ultimately change our mission? No, but it did change how we operated, changed what life looked like. When my wife and I got married, not only did we not know we would end up being here in Oklahoma, but I didn't know I was going to be working as a law enforcement officer, or that we'd be living next to my wife's best friends from childhood. Our overall mission may not have changed drastically, but our submissions, our charting, if you will, did change as our life changed. No voyage is charted once and left at that. No, throughout the journey of life, we will course correct and reassess as we see where God is taking us. Trust God. Walk in faith. And do so with the long haul glory of God and the good of your people in mind. And press on. And He will bless you. Until next time, gentlemen, fight the good fight of faith, act like men, and become the resilient, capable, wise, godly men God has called you to be.